And as you're seated, I forgot to totally ask, we're still having children's. So all the children with Miss Sherry, you can go down for your church service this morning. It's always good to hear the sound of children and babies. Tell you what, Latin, Hebrew, we hear all kinds of languages at Christmas. Today we hear a little French. Noël means birth or birthday. If you think of the birth, Noël, of Christ, he is truly the story of amazing love, light of the world. So today, as we're heading into joy, joy unspeakable, we sing of that full of glory. As we think of the Advent season, that's the whole reason I picked joy, because the third Sunday of Advent is usually the infamous pink candle, or as we like to say in the masculine world, rose. There's no pink in that, but it's the same thing. It's the joy, and we're going to talk about that today. So we're going to kind of jump. The main text is Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. And I'm also going to kind of compile that with John 15, which, if you know that whole chapter, it's a unique scripture. And we'll see how that ties into Advent and joy and Christmas. So Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. Those of a steadfast mind, you keep in peace, because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord God you have an everlasting rock. So it's thinking of joy. What an emotion. As my theme today is joy, because in a theological, biblical sense, yes, there really, truly, honestly is a huge difference between happiness and joy, feeling good and joy. So that starts a question for me as I look throughout the experience of being a pastor, is why do those who profess Christianity, faith, fail to experience real joy and real peace, this peace that's described here in Isaiah? Maybe it could be that just too many have gotten caught up in the passing pleasures of the world, or maybe they have just let the ways of life just distract them into living day after day. Or I hope it is just simply because they just haven't been taught that there is a difference, and that they could actually get to a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, who they've accepted as their Savior. Because the last thing Jesus or any of us as leaders would want you to do is to miss out on experiencing true joy and everlasting peace. Why? Because joy can only come from one place, or I should say one person. There's only one way to get it. It's just one place. It comes from serving, abiding in, and obeying Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. How do we know this? Well, the answer was given to us from the very source. Jesus, this is where John 15 comes in and ties in with Isaiah. Jesus gave us the answer. This is how you get it, because this is where I got it. So I'm sharing it with you so you can have it too. Jesus gave us the answer to full and lasting joy. In chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus says, It's because I told you. I told you this. Why? So that my joy may be in you, and that your joy that's in you may be complete, solid, full. All right. Well, Jesus says, I've told you that. Well, what were you telling us? This is where you go back even further and read the whole chapter of chapter 15. And you'll soon learn. It's the parable of the vineyard. I am the vine. You are the branches. So Jesus gave us the answer because he had just finished telling everyone this parable of the vineyard where he said, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit all by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. So Jesus here is emphasizing the importance of abiding with God and abiding with him in a loving, intimate, obedient relationship. That's what it's all about. It is truly about the relationship. This is why Jesus concluded his vineyard parable by saying, I am that vine. You are that branch. You have to stay with me. Remain in me. I am your passion. I am your radical, obedient relationship. It's to be about me so that we can be together as one, like I and the Father are one. So Jesus maintained that the reason we do this is because that's what I do. That's how I have my relationship with my Father. Jesus maintained throughout Scripture that it was his obedience to the Father. It was his obedience to his Father's commands was the whole basis of his joy. It's no different for us. That's why it's so important that once we accept Christ, that we immediately begin to deepen and work on our relationship with Christ. We need to maintain a life of obedience, a life of service, a life of love, a life of radical service to Christ and to our Heavenly Father. It is truly like you see at this time of season, they say, no Christ, no joy. It is true. No relationship, no joy. Who would want to settle to just being happy and feeling good? We want to go to that deeper level to experience joy. And that's the good news for us today, not only in Isaiah and chapter 15 of John, but it's just knowing that Jesus wants you to get there. He wants you to experience this joy that comes from being very close, personal, and intimate with him all the time. Not just on Sunday or when you think of it. All the time, 24/7, 365 as we would say, that this envelops your entire life. Because he knows that apart from the depth of obedience and service to him, all we do is nothing more than just sell ourselves short and settle for nothing more than just that unfulfilling state of just being happy or feeling good. The joy that is in Jesus Christ is always there to embrace if we would just do what we're supposed to do. Stop being so white-knuckled with the world and with trying to get success and fame and fortune, and just loosen that grip and let go and surrender to Jesus. Live according to the commands of God. Strive each day to forsake our fleshly desires that cry out to be fulfilled with instant gratification. These are the very things that Jesus said would provide real, true, everlasting joy. Because if you read the scriptures, if you read how radical and how wild these teachings are of Jesus, you will soon really take note that he never said anything about just being happy. He never says anything of just going day by day in a dull existence as if we're just kind of biding our time, waiting for our turn to be called to heaven. This is why Jesus wants to make it very clear that he wants us to realize there's a huge difference between joy and happiness. With happiness, it's an emotion. It's fueled by a dependence upon something happening. Happiness is fueled by that dependence upon what we experience externally. It's all the things that go on around us, on the outside. So the happiness, the joy, the happiness of like birthday parties and sunny days, getting a gift, boss giving you a day off, winning, festive holidays, things that are just going on around us that make us feel good and happy. But it's the joy that's so much deeper, because that comes from within, that comes within the heart, that comes within the soul. Because joy, or think of them as dividends of an investment. Joy is the dividends that one receives when they are willing and make the choice to invest themselves in a loving, intimate, obedient, servant-led relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just because he is the Son of God, because he has been allowed to become Lord and Savior of your life. Now, although some would probably still argue, look, you're getting too deep with this. There's no difference between the two. Well, Jesus says there's a huge, huge difference between the two, because joy is permanent. It's a state of being, where happiness is fleeting. It changes. It passes, because it's based on things that happen outside of myself. This is why I believe people are just wearing themselves out to a frazzle, not only just trying to be happy, but to try to stay happy. There are many who think that maintaining happiness requires a lot of consecutive good things to happen around me. I have to have all these wonderful things. That's why if it rains on your birthday, you become kind of disappointed, or if the snowstorm wipes out your long-awaited concert that you've been waiting to see your favorite artist, or something happened, flat tire, your boss calls you into work on your day off. Things that happen and take away happiness, it takes away your happiness. It's a type of mentality that makes you develop a notion that somehow, in order to maintain happiness, that I have to manufacture it, that somehow it's dependent upon me. That's why people look to the bottle, to drugs, to a bigger house, higher incomes, fame, fortune, and just live a comfortable lifestyle of material possessions. You see, if they can convince themselves that this is how they are supposed to live in order to find happiness, well, then their lives become nothing more than an endless cycle of clawing and digging and sweating after things, after stuff, after events, in order to stay content, in order to stay satisfied. But for us, Jesus tells us, if we will seek for joy in a relationship with him, you will see that if you seek for joy, you will not stop far short or get caught up in the trap of going after or settling for the quick fix of temporary happiness. Too many settle for happiness. That's why Mark 8:36 is so dark in some regard, because it says, for what really does it profit you to gain the whole world, but lose your soul? We as Christians seek for joy. That's why Jesus makes it evident, I want you to seek after that. Don't stop short of just feeling good or being happy. Because joy, on the other hand, doesn't even need things to happen. Because those who have joy know that it is supplied internally and abundantly by God himself. And it comes through an intimate, obedient relationship to his Son, Jesus Christ. Those who experience joy have learned that through any and every possible situation, whether good or bad, that joy came by their dependence upon God the Father through their relationship with his Son Jesus. It is faith, it is trust, and it's obedience. And we got to pick up on those words, obedient and service and surrender. Because being a Christian really is radical. It goes totally against the world. So if one desires to graduate from the temporary happiness of just feeling good and wants to get to that point of experiencing and living everlasting joy, then they need to do just like Jesus, because that's how he found joy in his relationship with his Father. We secure our trust in God by falling at the feet of Jesus Christ through confession of our sins, putting our faith in his grace, and surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus. We see that in our scripture passage today. I think this is one of the things, really think of it more as a prescription to what was of ill to the people of Judah. They were told that if they would just simply trust in God and keep what is called a steadfast mind, their trust would soon become a song of victory to them. And not only would they have a song of victory, but they would finally have the one thing they've wanted all along. Something they drastically needed for their war-torn land. True joy. Peace. They would have joy and everlasting peace upon the solid rock of their Lord God. It would be all theirs. All theirs for the taking, every last bit of it. If they would just have a steadfast mind and trust and have faith in their God. So in the pursuit of an everlasting joy with a peace that does pass all understanding, what does it mean to have a steadfast mind? We go back to the Hebrew. In the translation, it means to shape or to form. It also means to have a dependent attitude. So what God is literally telling his people is that the one who has a mind that is founded, formed, fixed, and shaped on God and everything God will be kept in not only peace, but a peace that is given by God himself. So just like clay stands without resistance to the potter, so the potter can shape and mold it into a beautiful creation, we too as Christians should allow God to have all of us at will so that he can form and shape us into what he needs us to be. Because the whole point is we're here on purpose. There's a reason we are born when we're born into the family that we're born into, our race, our language, our creed, the region of the world we're born into is all on purpose. Not one single bit of it's accidental or happenstance. Very specific mission. So without hesitation or resistance, we should surrender to God so that we can fulfill that wonderful purpose that he has for us. Our attitude must be one of total abandonment from ourselves to a complete dependence upon Almighty God, who knows the way, who's set the route, has the map, has the coordinates, knows exactly where you need to be and where you need to go. So steadfast mind. And then the second word he uses here in the process is trust. The placing of our trust in God is to be an attitude that is unwavering. It's that same word that means fixed and unmovable. It is a confidence that he knows the way. And he's not going to trick us or fool us or have a little fun with us and get us off course just to see what kind of reaction he can get out of us. He's not that type of God. He loves us too much. He created us for a reason, and he has that mission, and he's fixed on that if we were willing to go with him on that journey. So in other words, if we truly want joy and peace within our lives, we've got to put it all out on the table and just say, God, take it. If you want to take it in another analogy, get out of the driver's seat. Go sit in the back and let him drive and let him take you where he needs you to go. We have to trust in his timing, in the events he allows in our lives, his ability to handle everything. All things that go on in our life is a trust and a confidence that he's got it under control. There is a reason. We may not know it now. It could be 10, 20, 30 years from now. It may play out through great-great-grandchildren. We never know. God's everlasting time calendar has purposes and plans for why things happen the way they happen. We trust that God has reasons. It's working, and it will work. And whatever it is, even though he may never tell us what it is, he has the ability to work that because he's using it for his glory. So we have to take our humanness out of the equation. I know it's so hard wanting to jump in and help God with his plan for our life. It means what we have to do. We've got to stop trying to manage the outcomes to fit our understanding of the situation. We need to stop seeking answers. We need to stop demanding that somehow God owes us an explanation. We stop jumping in and trying to fix things if it doesn't go our way. We stop trying to jump in and make things, we stop pushing, trying to make things move along a little faster because we don't think God's answering our prayers or answering fast enough. One of the things we have to learn to be is spiritually flexible, spiritually adaptable to what God has for us and wants for us, because his whole purpose is to bless us, not just meagerly. Everything about God is in the abundance range. Abundant blessings, abundant joy, overflowing. Think of all the imagery throughout the Psalms and the Proverbs. How many times Paul used the word overflowing, and these words that just describe a God that just spills it all out, all over the place, because he's just an abundant God who loves us that much. It is truly that coined phrase that we have seen throughout our life. It's just for real. It let go and let God. How many times have we heard that? Because it's true. We have to become spiritually flexible enough to let go and to let God have full control of where we go, how we manage the life that he has given us. Trust that God has nothing other than the very best for you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, I am confident. That's a 100% word. I am 100%. I am confident of this, that the one who began the good work in you will, there's the confidence, will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. What he starts, he will finish. And trust me, the finishing piece will be quite abundant. It's one of the things we're learning in our Wednesday Bible study of Malachi. He's telling his people, if you will just abandon yourself to me, you know what the only problem you're going to have? Your problem's not going to be, well, how am I going to pay my bills? Or, you know, I have this thing this weekend, but also does the church. Your problems are not going to be problems. Your problem's going to be, how in the world can I handle all these blessings? There's so many. They're overflowing. They're too many. There's more than I can handle. That's a good problem to have, isn't it? That there's so many blessings to overflowing. you just lose the ability to handle it all. That's a lot of blessings, and that's not a bad problem to have. But you have to get to the point of full surrender, of giving everything you have to Almighty God. You have to abandon, let go, let God, have a steadfast mind that's fully fixed and in trust of God. That is how Jesus is telling us today. That's how you find that true inner joy, that inner peace, which makes it possible to have a confident hope through any and every circumstance in life. So as we wrap this up, I have to say that seeking after an everlasting joy, here's the hard part. Nobody's going to make you. That's the puzzling piece of this whole part of seeking after joy. It's strictly up to you. God offers it. He's willing to give it to you abundantly and to just to overwhelm you with it to the point that, how do I manage all these blessings because there are so many and it's just so overwhelming to me? Well, how do we do it? He's offering it. It's free. He paid the price. He gave his son. He's not going to force it on anyone because he can only give it to those who truly want it. We can either stand at a distance on our own and allow our circumstances to dictate happiness, or if I feel good today, or maybe a little bit happier, or we can come close to God, surrender, give our lives to Jesus, live for Jesus, give our all to Him, and experience everlasting joy no matter what goes on around me. Everyone has it within their power to say with trust in God and with that steadfast mind, yes, upon the rock of the Lord God, I will refuse to allow myself to become a victim. So today I will choose joy. I choose peace because I have chosen Jesus Christ to not only be the Son of God in my life, but also to be Lord and also to be Savior. Maybe think of it this way. Think of the ocean, the huge waves of the ocean that would more than likely frighten the ordinary swimmer to go back and stay close to the safety of the shore, are the very same waves that produce the most tremendous joy and thrill for the surfer who has learned what it takes to ride such waves. That's kind of what we apply to our walk with Christ. Don't stay all nice and content going on with everyday existence in the safety of the shoreline. Get out there and learn to ride those waves called life that is abundant, that is true joy, true peace. The things of life that we let break us, it sometimes just makes us shake our heads, and what makes Christians hit and shatter. Things of life that we let break us, the trials we often try to avoid. It's amazing how hard we work to try to avoid the very things that produce joy. We forfeit joy because we try to forfeit the lessons of life. There's a reason God allows us to go through trials, to go through conflict, tragedies and misfortunes, loss, suffering, persecution. He's not some morbid God that just tries to have fun with His creation in a mean and evil way. He's got purposes and plans to draw us closer to Him. Because a Christian doesn't know the joy of the Lord in spite of tribulation, but because of such tribulation. The undiminished radiance, which is the result of abundant joy, is not built on anything passing, but it's on the love, that agape, unconditional love of God that nothing can change, nothing can affect, nothing can divert it or dilute it. As I said before, happiness is dependent upon the temporary reactions to those external things that I have no control over. But joy is a strong and everlasting and permanent internal state that is not affected by anything external whatsoever. That's why we choose joy, because you can get so founded in a relationship with Him, so close, so deep. Yes, I'm not mitigating that it's painful. We still cry. We still mourn. We still get frustrated because life sometimes gets out of whack in our estimation of how life should be. But it's trusting that no matter what's going on, our Heavenly Father has a plan, the purpose, the reason, all under control, the trust, the faith, that if we will walk Him with Him through it, joy and contentment, but the peace that passes all understanding through those moments in life helps life to be so much more of a journey that is love, joy, peace, like we say in our Advent candles, hope. So choose joy. Keep that steadfast mind. Keep it straight, unwavering, unmoving on our Heavenly Father. Keep a steadfast mind upon God. Let us hear once again Isaiah 26, 3 through 4. Those of a steadfast mind, He will keep in peace. In peace because they trust in You. Trust in the Lord forever. Or should we say through all things and through anything. For in the Lord God you have an everlasting rock. He is that fortress. He is that defense. He is like that Old Testament imagery of a mother hen gathering her chicks under her wing. He is truly a God who abundantly cares for us and has wonderful plans for us despite what all this world tries to do to us or has for us. God is over it all, so we seek His shelter. That is joy, and that is why we choose joy. Keep working on that relationship with your Heavenly Father through Christ that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Eat, sleep, breathe. Jesus Christ is Lord. Everything, all things, every day, all the time. Fall in love with Christ. Make Him your passion and be radically, radically disciples of Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for joy, that we can go well beyond anything this world has to offer. Father, we know the pleasures of this world are nothing. They make them sound like they're everything. But Father, we know You are everything. Help us to learn to be dependent. Sometimes it's hard to trust. It's so easy to jump in and try to manipulate and to drive our situations in the direction we want to go or what we think are the answers, but to just, like Mary, sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen to You and to let You take our situations in life each day, minute by minute, trusting in You, hearing from You, while we serve You and worship You, obey You, learn from You. Father, help us to learn this two-way relationship even stronger this week, that we can fall in love with You even more deeply than ever before. Thank You for being not only our God, but our Father. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for being more than just the Son of God, but being our Messiah, our Savior, our Prince of Peace. Holy Spirit, thank You for being our advocate, our guide, our conscience, our help, and our interpreter when all we can do is just groan because of what we experience in this world. Thank you, Father, for your unending, undiminished, unmovable, abundantly lavished upon us joy. Grant us this peace, this Christmas, or even this very minute. Overwhelm us with your love, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.